Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, March 28th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Unmuted. How are you? Man, it's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, unmuted and all. Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I am immutable.
Nice. Well played.
Nice.
Thanks. I'll be here all week, I think. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll check back on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Elgato's Eve Energy Smart Switch, which is pretty awesome. We'll talk about that in a bit. But first, we have some update stuff to talk about. Specifically, I want to talk about this whole file system change that we get with iOS 10.3 and with macOS 10.12.4. So, Dave, do you mind if I put you on the spot and ask you to explain to the listeners what the new file system thing is?
Well, it's Apple's new APFS, or Apple File System, built from, I believe, from the ground up by Apple to make things more efficient, more geared towards the types of hardware, i.e. SSDs, and activities that we do now. And so they announced this at WWDC. They've had a very, very accelerated timeline for development and implementation too. I mean, I think they've only been working on this for a few years, which is, for a file system, is insane to have it ready for production this quickly. And
really, they gave us only essentially a year heads up.
Yeah, they gave us a year heads up, a little bit less than a year, right?
Yeah,
because June to March.
That's true.
But what we have to remember, everybody was very surprised when it came out that we would get this new file system on iOS, which of course we got yesterday. Or if you haven't updated to 10.3 yet, then you don't have it yet, but you will. But when you stop and think about it, it makes a lot of sense. On the Mac, to move to this as the default file system is a big deal, because third-party developers can and do write utilities and things that rely on the file system as we know it as HFS Plus, right? Whereas on iOS, third-party developers don't even get to know what file system is running on the device, at least not from within their app. I mean, we can know. It's not like it's a secret, but the file system, their apps are written to be file system agnostic. They don't care. They rely on iOS and the frameworks in iOS to do all of their data storage and data manipulation. And really, iOS is the only thing that does data repair. There's no such thing even as disk utility for iOS, let alone, you know, Drive Genius or Disk Warrior or any of those sorts of things. So it makes a lot of sense that iOS would be the first production rollout of this, because everything that deals with the file system is controlled by Apple. And of course, that's what we saw yesterday. And if you updated to iOS 10.3, you noticed that it took probably noticed that it took a lot longer than previous updates. If you haven't updated yet, you might notice that it will take a lot longer than previous updates. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's converting your file system. And that's, doing that in place is an extremely risky move. And there was a lot of, we talked about this on the show. There was a lot of FUD, ballsy. Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's really ballsy. Yeah, exactly. But again, you know, there's nothing there, unless you've jailbroken your device. And even if you have, you likely have not done anything to manipulate the actual file system in a way that this would matter. But certainly if you haven't jailbroken your device, there's no way you've done anything to manipulate the file system. So Apple had a pretty, pretty predictable path ahead of them. And throughout the beta, I heard from entirely zero people that had any trouble with the update. And since yesterday's release, I have heard from exactly zero people that have had any problem with the update.
Well, you just completely ruined the setup I was going to give you, which was, holy crap, Dave, that sounds scary. Should I be afraid to install this update because it's going to destroy all my files? And the answer is
no. But you should back up your phone before you do the update because it's an update, not because it's changing your file system. You've done it for the previous ones. You will do it for the next ones. You'll also do it for this one.
Hey, can I step back just a little bit for a sort of meta look at the fact that I've been bagging on Apple in particular for its lack of hardware upgrades. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are cranky at the pace of Apple software and hardware releases. This particular change is a major feat, being able to do this so seamlessly and easily, at least so far. You know, we've only had this in the wild for less than a day. It's a major accomplishment. It is a technological feat that the fact that most people don't even have any idea that this is even happening and it won't matter to them is astounding.
Yeah, and Brian, while you're saying it's been in the wild for less than a day, that's true. But people that are part of Apple's developer program have been using this file system for weeks. And the only reason I was even aware that my iPhone had switched over to that was because when I installed the developer beta where that happened, I had read the notes, so I knew that's what was going to happen. And it was a complete non-event, and I had actually forgotten that the change took place.
And there you have it. That's a major accomplishment on Apple's part. And, you know, again, coming from someone who's been cranky with Apple's release pace, it definitely want to pour credit where it's due.
Now, on the Mac, when you install 10.12.4 Sierra, your hard drive or SSD is not converting over to APFS. This is something
I don't even think APFS is included in 10.12.4, is it? I'm not seeing it. I thought it was an option.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not seeing it in Disk Utility. No.
Okay.
It's entirely possible. It may include support for APFS volumes. In fact, it would have to mount your iPad or iPhone.
That's a good point. Okay. Okay.
So, right? I mean, unless there's some other magic going on.
You know, the easier to understand magic or to explain magic would be their support for it, because that would be the easiest way to actually mount your iPhone or your iPad or iPod Touch so you can do file syncing. All right.
Yeah.
So if you're afraid that installing Mac OS Sierra 10.12.4 is going to wipe out your data because it's switching to APFS, no, that's not happening.
But we need to check on this because, and I don't have a, this brings up a very good question. What happens when I take my 10.3 iPhone and plug it in to my Mac that's running El Capitan?
That's a good question.
Right. So I need to dig into that a little bit, and I don't have that answer here, so I don't even want to pretend like I do, but because that makes things interesting.
All right. So what I'm hearing now is that there's going to be some more information about all of this on MacGeekGab.
Yeah, my guess is though, I don't think iTunes mounts, or I don't think the Mac mounts this as a drive when you plug in your iPhone. Unless you do things specifically to do that, but I don't think it does. And I'm looking to see. No, there's no drive mounted. I'm looking in the terminal here. There's no drive mounted for my iPhone, so it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to read APFS.
Okay.
At least not to do syncing and backups and things like that. So,
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
So, all right. And I hadn't gone to look and see if I could format an APFS volume on my Mac. But based on...
I did.
Yeah, and you can see the ability to do that. So
no, but to be fair, I'm trying to do it with a spindle drive, and it's possible APFS will only be allowed on SSDs. So it's not a full test, and since I'm recording here and can't reach over and get an SSD to plug in, then I won't.
Understandable. Yeah. All right. And okay, and I'm looking right now. Oh, guess what? You can't actually do anything with your boot volume.
No, so, you can't. That's why I have to test it with an external.
Yeah.
And the only external I have is a, yeah.
All right. I was under the assumption that we were going to have access to APFS with 10.12.4, but maybe it is just...
Well, I'll tell you what, when we get to the point where you're going to deliver the sponsor spot, I will do a little testing.
Well, why don't we do that right now so that you can do some testing?
Works for me.
All right. So, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Elgato's Eve Energy Switch and Power Meter. And this is a cool little box that plugs into an outlet on your wall, and then it has an outlet on it. So you can take a device and plug it in and take something that wasn't a smart home device before, and now it is. And this is a HomeKit compatible device. Matter of fact, that's exactly what it's designed for. So it integrates tightly with Siri and all the other HomeKit gear that you have. And I love that it lets you take devices that otherwise wouldn't be able to go on your network or onto your HomeKit network, and then you can add them in. So you could put in lights or like I used one with my air conditioner, and I've seen people do things like hook up little infusers so they can make their house smell like cinnamon or whatever it is that you infuse into the air. And who am I to judge? But the thing is, this works really well, and the data that you can get from the device is pretty awesome, because you can look and see what sort of power consumption your thing that you turned smart is. Wow, that sentence got away from me. How much electricity is your device using? The switch will actually let you know, so you can monitor power usage. You can get a nice detailed look into exactly what it is that you're doing with this switch. And since it's HomeKit compatible, you can control it from anywhere. You can control it with Siri, and it's just a really cool little thing. I love having one. And at under $50, I think it's a really great addition to my smart home setup. So you guys can go check this out, and please do head over to the Elgato website. That's elgato.com/TDO, elgato.com/TDO. And you can check out the Eve Energy smart switch and power meter. And my guess is that you will very quickly find a reason why you need to add one into your setup. And yes, I'm totally being an enabler here, and that's okay. Elgato.com/TDO. And thank you to Elgato for being our sponsor today. All right.
Indeed.
Dave, what'd you find out?
I found out that I cannot format an external drive as APFS with Disk Utility in Mac OS 10.12.4, and I even tried hitting the Option key while choosing partition and also format and all of that, just because sometimes that exposes different options, and it did not. So perhaps it would let me do it to an internal drive, but I don't even think that's the case. I have seen no discussion on this. So it's possible I missed something. No, I don't think we're there yet. Yeah, I don't think we're there yet.
All right. So
and Apple often rolls these things out one platform at a time.
Yeah. Well, it would be insane for them to put this on the Mac right now, to be perfectly honest. I mean, maybe you're a developer, go download this driver, install it, agree to this thing that you know that anything you put on this drive is totally beta. I mean, just like it was, you could do it with the Sierra betas, right? That came out in the fall, I think, or in the summer. I think you could, there was a way to like begin, you know, kind of tinkering with APFS at that point, but not in a production scenario.
So it's there under the hood, most likely, and we just don't have access to it yet. But when Apple is ready to let us start mounting APFS volumes, we can just plug them in and they will probably show up.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, then we should move on and talk about another thing, which is actually pretty cool for developers. And this is that Apple is now giving developers the ability to respond to reviews in the App Store. So, it's about time, because a lot of times people will leave comments in the App Store that are misguided or are, someone's confused about something. And so they rant in the App Store, and the developers have had no way of responding to that, you know, by saying, hey, actually, you can do that. You just need to click here, or wow, that's a great idea.
Well, with our Mac Geek Gab app, I just went in before we did the show to see how it worked. And I found a review where it was like a 2-star review on the app. And somebody said, hey, this version doesn't remember my place. So when I leave if they're playing an episode, if they leave the app and come back, they have to start back at zero. That's frustrating. I get why you'd choose a 2-star review. And we have since fixed that, right? And the release is out. But just to test the process, I replied to that user and said, hey, thanks for letting us know. Now that we can reply to reviews, I just want to make sure you and anybody else reading knows that this has been remedied. Or at least it should be. If it's not, please, of course, let us know. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, that went into a queue. It was pending after I clicked it, after I clicked send. So my guess is that someone at Apple will look at that and then choose whether or not to release it to the public. But yeah, the public reply. Now, I don't know if the user that submitted it gets notified. I mean, we'll see how all that goes. So,
all right. So to me, this is actually kind of funny. As a user, I can just post to my heart's content. But you as a developer, your responses all get screened.
You got it.
That's
probably for the best. I mean, right. I mean, there's a lot of developers out there, and it's a very broad pool of people. And I don't know. It just seems like it's for the best.
On one hand, sure. But on the other hand, it is funny that any user can post without being screened, but developers are screened.
Yeah, but you know what? It's okay. It's okay for users to I mean, this should be about the users first. This should be about the customers first. Sure. And yeah, I know that a lot of people who abuse comments, for sure. I have seen a lot of idiotic comments and ratings on apps. And my favorite would be, of course, someone giving an app a 1-star because it's more than 99 cents. I mean, that just makes me want to start throwing punches. But one way or another, the stuff should be geared towards end users first and developers second.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm so glad developers can finally respond to users. This is long overdue.
It's long overdue. I agree. Yeah.
You made a comment about podcasters being able to respond in the pre-show. Well,
in the pre-show. Yeah. I hadn't brought that up yet, but that's kind of the next place where I want to see this go, because it's the same sort of thing, right? People get to review your show and again, the same kind of like, oh, you know, they did something that offended me or I had a problem with it. It'd be nice to be able to say, hey, here's the thing. And hopefully that might get Apple's paying more attention to podcasts now, right? Without question. So, and they're putting more resources on it, and they're, you know, there's a lot of talk of evolving the podcast store, you know, section. So perhaps this functionality could be rolled over to that too. That'd be really handy to be perfectly honest.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Yeah. And but in the meantime, we'll just have to, like animals, respond on our shows to listener comments.
Right.
Hey, we are out of time.
Jeff, people wanted to comment in a way that made it really easy for us to see it and then respond. What would that be?
That would be, there's so many ways you could do that. You could leave a comment on Twitter at TMO Daily. You could leave an email, observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And
I like it.
Yeah, and then like an animal, I can respond to what you have to say, and I'm totally cool with that.
Like an animal with opposable thumbs.
That's right. It's that's what I've got going for me, man, those opposable thumbs. Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. Good stuff.
Absolutely. And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Indeed. Thanks for having me as well.
It's awesome to have both of you on the show. It's also awesome that Elgato's Eve Energy HomeKit compatible smart switch is our sponsor today. Head over to their website, elgato.com/TDO, and check that out. Listeners, thanks for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.